from the department, the DG, and your team, only AG. Officials back from Parliament. Who else? If I left out. Oh, members of the board of Senfax and Smangaliso Nawaka. And the Financial and Fiscal Commission, who will also be briefing us this morning. I think we'll have to do the proper introduction. Also, for the couple of new faces in the room. I guess probably let's start with the introduction. We assume that members are known, so we will take introductions from the AG. Let's start from here.
Morning. Somebody who was from the Auditor General.
Morning. Hitesh Rana, I'm from the Auditor General.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Chief Financial
Officer. You are the honorable, yes? Chief Financial Officer. Okay.
Yes, but she's always.
Well, she must introduce herself.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. I have to call my back and then the president of the department and the media.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Shoni San. I'm the DG for Biodiversity and Conservation in the department.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Rian Okop, the Chief Director, Administration and Strategic Support in the Department of Environmental Affairs.
Let's proceed from the front.
Morning, Chair and members. My name is Puyi Ndibonga. I'm Parliamentary Officer in the Office of the DG.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Paul Benzano. I'm from the Department of Environmental Affairs in the DG.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Raj Mahavir, Chief Financial Officer, South African National Office.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Member. I'm Joel Bunting Center and I'm Senior GM for Strategy for SANFAR.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Lisa McCourt. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for SANFAR.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members, teaching colleagues. My name is Fons Philippine. I'm the CEO of SANFAR.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. Members,
morning, Chair and Honourable Members, colleagues from GIA. My name is Lucas Zepe. I am the head of the CEO's office.
Morning, Chair, Honourable Members, colleagues. My name is Terry Castus. I'm the Business Director of the Economic Research Park.
Morning, Members and Honourable Chair, Andrew Zaluma, CEO, Simangaliso Wetland Park.
Chair and members, good morning. My name is Glenn Zorani. I chair
Good morning, honorable members. Chair, my name is Abhita Khadir. Thank you very much. We don't have any introduction from this side. It's PMG, Aaron. Okay. There is Dr. Portman.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Tembekile, Tembekile Short, Jakala, from the Financial and Fiscal Commission. I'm responsible for Ithaca Mental and Fiscal Relations.
morning, I'm Robin Dara. I'm the Superintendent of Financial Information.
Come again.
I'm also from the Financial Information Commission and from the National Cash and Analysis.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. The others from PMG, Doc, Error. You are welcome, honorable members and colleagues from the department. We have got about four presentations today. The Auditor General, the FSC, CENPAS and ISMANALIS. We have not received a presentation from the FSC. I don't know whether you are ready with the presentation or any reason why you did not share with us before. Or is here in front of me. They only arrived this morning. The practice should be that you must give us a presentation at least days before, so that we go through it and the members can familiarize themselves with the presentation so that they can prepare themselves to engage with your presentation. So you shouldn't get it in the morning when you are here. I hope that in future we'll improve on that. Honourable members, you are welcome. It's been a while after our constituency pilot. I know that we attended the People and Parks Conference, which was organized by the department. We also attended the Societies Conference. Both of these two conferences were highly successful. Unfortunately, members could not attend. They were only able to attend for about 2 days, Societies Conference, because of the reasons which members are aware of. And we're not there when it was closed, but I must say that it was a very good conference. South Africa once more excelled in its hosting capabilities. The entire world was here. We showed that we've got what it takes to host a conference of that magnitude. We must commend the department, the minister in absentia, the DG, Tony, and the rest of the team for the work well done. We at some point, I think we have to engage with the reports that comes from that conference. You win some, you lose some. I think it's how we can summarize the rest of the discussion. That some of the issues did not really go in our favor as a country. Some of the issues was accepted, particularly around some of the listing. I know the listing of the mountain zebra from Appendix 1 to 2 was accepted without any objection. And some of the proposal, most of the proposal was accepted. Of course, the disappointment, which is a matter that I think the department must continue to engage with the rest of the parties on the question of the decision-making mechanism which was almost buried in COP 17. You'll have to come up with some proposal around that question, because if you listen to commentary after the CITES, you really can pick up that there seem not to be
an appreciation of the challenges that the ranch states are facing in terms of looking after this animal, particularly the elephant and the rhino, especially on the elephant, that it has to be used, it has to be conserved in a sustainable manner. That its existence, its conservation has to also benefit those communities who are residing in the vicinity of the parks and those who are looking after looking after this animal. But generally, all in all, I think it's a conference that went very well. The scientists and the people in parks conference. Without going into the issues, because there is a lot to talk about when you talk about the scientists, but I guess we'll have an opportunity for us to engage with the department on some of the issues that emerged out of that conference, the lessons learned, the experiences, and how we take the process forward in preparing for COP 18. Are you ready, AG? Okay. Before we get the presentation by the AG, I must say that we received a letter from the Honorable Minister. I was given a copy of this letter dated the 24th of September 2016, which was addressed to the Speaker, Honorable Bertie. Basically, if I to summarize this letter, we'll distribute it to the members. I don't know whether the members have already received. Can you? They haven't received me?
I think they haven't sent it to the
Okay. We'll make a copy and then give it to the members. But basically, the minister is written to the Speaker requesting that the department be allowed time to present the annual report not later than the 31st. of December. Because in terms of the act, the department was supposed to have presented on the 31st or the 30th of September. The annual report together with the report of the AG. But because of the reasons which I explained in the letter, the minister has requested that they must be given time to finalize the issue and then present the report to Parliament, after which we'll be able to then request the department to come and raise the committee. But basically, the main reason is that there seem to be a dispute between the department and the AG on the presentation of the financial statements, particularly relating to one program, program number 6, environmental program. And the department has therefore requested that there must be a mediation process between the AG, the minister, and of course the department and national treasurer to try and resolve that issue. So members will then get a copy of that letter, and as soon as this matter has been resolved, we will come back and get a presentation from the AG on the auditing of the financial statement of the department. Are you ready? Okay. Can we... I don't know who's going to do the speaking. but you sort yourself out, AG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
You must speak to the mic. If you can just move your your computer this other side.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Please allow me to do the introduction again. Morning to Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Members of the Department, and esteemed other. My name is Samuel Umar from the Auditor General, and my colleague, Ritesh Abhinathan. We'll be presenting together the outcomes of the portfolio for the 2015-16 financial year. I'd like to ask that any questions be taken after the presentation. And I do have a last slide that says questions. So if you'll allow me to do the full presentation, after which we'll be able to take questions. The first slide being the briefing to the Portfolio Committee on the Environmental Affairs Audit Outcomes 2015-16 financial year. The first few slides will encompass Exxa's promise and focus. The reputation promise I'm just going to touch on very pertinent points in terms of the reputation promise and the role of the Exxa in the BRRR process. In terms of the reputation promise, the AGA has a constitutional mandate and is the site for South Africa, and its existence is to strengthen democracy by enabling oversight, accountability.
Let's cut to the chase. Let's get to the issue. Are you able to speak this up?
Okay, with the permission of the Honourable Chairperson, I'll skip this slide. The role of the Exxa, can I just touch on that, is to assist the Portfolio Committee in its oversight that will lead to good governance. The following slide encompasses on our scope, which encompasses three areas: fair presentation and reliability of the financials. So the first item is your financial statement. The second being your reliable, credible performance information, audit of predetermined objectives. And your third one being compliance with key legislation. Then there's just a descriptive on the different opinions that we issue. We've got an unqualified opinion with no findings. If I go back to the previous slide, it would mean 1, 2, and 3. And in terms of the portfolio, fortunately, we have three of our audits in this category, and we'll capture on them later on in the slides. Your next opinion is financially unqualified with findings. And if I go back to the previous slide, that means one is clean, and the problem sits with 2 and/or 3. In this portfolio, we've got one client that sits in this category. The following opinions are qualified, adverse, and disclaimer. I'm not going to touch too much on this. This is where your financial statements are materially misstated. And in terms of the portfolio, none of the auditees are in this category. I will now focus on the audit outcomes and the key messages. At the outset, I'd like to mention that the key message for this portfolio the lack of sustainability of clean audits due to key compliance issues of material amendments to the financial statement. So I think we must also give credit to the portfolio and commend the portfolio for having three clean opinions. This slide encompasses the audit outcomes over 3 years. So if we look at this, in 2013-14, we had Sandparks in a yellow. There was still a yellow in 2014-15. And they then went on to clean audit in 15-16. If we look at SOARs in 13-14, they were unqualified with, and it was a non-compliance. They went on to clean already in 14-15 and maintained that in 15-16. If we look at 2014-15, we look at Sandby, their unqualified with. The with is the material amendments to the financial statement. They had come from a clean opinion in 2013-14. Unfortunately, they remained on the yellow with material amendments to financial statements for 15-16. This slide captures the movement. We look at Isimangaliso Wetland Park Authority, sustained its clean opinion throughout and for the 2 years. So this is a comparison of 2 years. So let's look at weather services, as from the previous slide, maintain the clean opinion. Then we have South African National Parks, that's in the yellow, that improved from unqualified worth to clean opinion. And then we've got South African National Biodiversity Institute, SANBI, that are unchanged for the 2 years, unqualified with material amendments. And lastly, there at the bottom right-hand corner, we find here, I think the Honourable Chairperson has alluded to it earlier on, in terms of the audit outcomes still outstanding. We're now going to focus on the performance information, so it's performance management linked to programs. This slide encompasses the usefulness and reliability. So when we report on predetermined objectives, we report on it either on usefulness of the information or the reliability of performance information. Sandparks had both issues in the prior year. And the good thing is they've improved and have no issues for the current year except one matter, which I will touch on in the next slide. Sandparks had material amendments on the predetermined objectives, or what we term the performance information, in that they did not have explanations for all variances. So they had explanations for most variances, but there were some variances where there were no explanations. And some of them were in terms of overachievement. But I think they were of the view that they didn't have to explain. But in terms of the FMPPI, that's the framework for performance information, there needs to be explanations for all variances, unless the actual and the budget is exactly equal. I will now hand over to my colleague, Ritesh Ramnathan, to continue with the compliance matter.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable members, Chairperson. Thank you. If you look at compliance, we can see an improvement. With Sandparks improving on from the prior year, as they have material findings on compliance,
and SEMB unchanged, because in the prior year they have material amendments to the financial statement, as well as in the current year they have material amendments to the financial statement which caused a non-compliance in the audit report. The next slide. Here we can see the material misstatements in the financial statements, the repeat finding for SEMB from the prior year. So it's also in the current year. And if you look at figure 2, which talks on the quality of the financial statement, it's also talking about SEMB, and they had corrections to the financial statements, and had it not been corrected, it would have resulted in a qualified audit opinion. So this is for 14-15 as well as 15-16. Next slide talks to key controls in the portfolio. Here we see leadership. From the prior year, SEMB has been improvement. And in terms of financial and performance management, we can see SEMPAS has improved from a red to a yellow. Red being that they had material findings in the prior year on compliance and AOPO. And in the current year, they have improved as they only had material amendments to the annual performance report, which didn't affect the audit opinion. SEMB has moved from a yellow to a red because it's a repeat finding from the prior year, and we also indicated that the reason it's been a red is because it can slip up in the opinion can go to a qualified opinion if they do not change their controls or amend or enhance their controls to ensure that accurate financial reporting happens throughout the year. In terms of the next slide, we look at assurance providers. We see senior management has improved, as well as the accounting officer and authorities have improved as SEMPAS became clean. SEMB still remains a yellow due to the audit opinion being financial or unqualified with matters. We look at internal audit committee and the portfolio committee. We also did agree and we provide assurance for the portfolio. The two main root causes in the portfolio is slow responses in improving key controls and addressing risk areas. In the current year, we say SEMB sits with this root cause because they have not enhanced controls, and if you look at it, they still sit with the same opinion that they had from the prior year. In the prior year, SEMB was there because they had material issues of compliance and AOPO for the last 2 years. That's why they were sitting there the prior year. Key officials lacking competency. In terms of SEMB, we think there should be adequate training to ensure that the financial statements fairly present the entity for the year. So we say that training is important to ensure that GRAP is adhered to when the financial statements are prepared. Prior year, SEMB is also sitting there with the same reason, and SEMPAS was there because of the key issues in terms of material issues of AOPO and compliance. In terms of actions required to improve audit outcomes, we say management should act on recommendations by the AGSA in a timely manner and implement action plans for internal controls that are sustainable. Accounting authorities must successfully implement basic internal controls and accounting disciplines by ensuring by preparing regular and accurate financial statements and performance reports. The next one is actions that are required by the oversight structures, which is the portfolio committee. Indicate that SEMB submitted financial statements of poor quality for auditing. The portfolio committee should ensure that processes and controls are implemented at SEMB to sustain a control environment that supports reliable reporting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was precise to the point. I hope members were taking note. I think we'll get FFC to also present, so that when we ask questions and engage with the presentation, we do it for both. Maybe we must come this side here. Yeah. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay, that's what I have to do.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let's extend our greetings to the Honorable Members and the distinguished guests present and community. As per the request by the Portfolio Committee, we have prepared a presentation as the Financial and Fiscal Commission. In terms of the outline, very briefly, Chairperson, we look at the role of us as the FMC. The department's vision, mission, values, and alignment with the constitution and the national development plan, the overview of the department, environmental affairs within the broader economy, would look at the statutory bodies supporting the work of the department, would look at the department and EPWP, and lastly, the national responses to environmental issues and climate change. Briefly, in terms of the Commission, it's an independent, permanent, and statutory body that is established in terms of the Commission. And in terms of the functioning, it functions in terms of the FFC Act. Our mandate is to make recommendations as envisaged in the Constitution. And the focus is primarily on the equitable division of nationally collected revenue among the three spheres of government. In terms of the analysis that the FFC does and what we've done in terms of this presentation, firstly, we provide a three-year backward-looking and also a three-year forward-looking analysis on the department's budget. We compare allocation and performance by vote program. We also look at the nominal versus the real growth rate. And all of this, Chairperson and members, will be outlined in the next slide of the presentation. We did look at the vision, the mission, and the value of the department, and we wouldn't dwell on them, Chairperson, but they are as projected in the slide. And nextly, in context, we've looked at the alignment with the Constitution and the National Development Plan. And looking firstly at the Constitution, the role of the department focuses on ensuring that the constitutional right to a clean and healthy environment is upheld. And in terms of the national blueprint, which is the National Development Plan, which provides objectives across the 13 focus areas and also provides 119 specific actions among those are environmental sustainability and resilience, which are a responsibility of the department. And South Africa as a country, a transition to an environmental sustainability, climate change resilience, low carbon economy, and just society will be well underway, and that is envisaged to be amongst the roles the department will play. The objectives that the NDP outlines, which are relevant to the department, are the protection of the natural environment in all aspects, leaving subsequent generations with at least an endowment of at least equal value. Secondly, enhance the resilience of people and the economy to climate change. Thirdly, extract mineral wealth to generate the resources to raise living standards, skills, and infrastructure in a manner that is sustainable. And lastly, reduction of greenhouse gas emissions and improve energy efficiency. In terms of the departmental overview, the department the work that it does exists within the broader economy. And the work is within the trending global environmental threats, such as climate change, the degradation of ecosystem services, including water quality and quantity, air quality, and others. And the country is confronted with environmental issues that are multifaceted, and also effectively addressing them demands approaches that are integrated. And within this, the poor in South Africa will be mostly affected by these climate changes. The FFC did a study recently in Limpopo and Eastern Cape. And some of the findings for this study are that climate change will have devastating effects on the main central crops and women-headed households. So those are some of the findings that the recent study found when it comes to climate change. Before going to the details of the budget analysis, just as an overview, the threat plan for the department outlines the strategic outcomes-oriented goals as projected in the slide, and it also outlines the 7 programs as projected in the slide: administration, legal and authorization, compliance and enforcement, oceans and coasts, climate change and air quality management, biodiversity and conservation, environmental programs, and lastly, chemicals and waste management. The next part, Honorable Chair, initially the presentation outlined that the FFC does a 3-year backward and a 3-year forward looking analysis. And this slide is one that outlines the 3-year backward being 12-13, 13-14, 14-15 financial year, and it also looks at the 15-16 adjusted appropriation and the forward-looking outer years, which is 16-17 to 18-19. Specifically, it outlines what has been spent in the backward-looking. And then the next slide. Initially, the presentation also did indicate that the Commission looks at the real growth rate. So the slide that we see there, it projects the growth rate for the 4 programs. The first program is administration on the top left. The second program on top right is legal authorization and compliance. The third program on bottom left is oceans and coasts. The fourth program on bottom right is climate change and air quality. And what we can indicate, Honorable Chairperson, is that in 15-16, the programs have grown differently. So there is growth in the different programs, but it varies from one program to the other. But when we look at the outer years, the growth is subdued. When we move to the next slide, still on the programs, because we've looked at the 4, now we're looking at the last 3. The slide shows that on the top left is biodiversity and conservation. On the top right is environmental programs. Lastly, on the bottom left is chemicals and waste management. And from that slide, Chairperson, the Commission would like to indicate that the budget for chemicals and waste management at 29.4 grew faster than the other programs, followed by the legal authorization and compliance of 28 that was projected in the previous slide. Notably, also, the budget for environmental programs that you see on the top right appear to have decreased in the financial year 15-16 by 5.4%, and it is expected to decline in the next 2 years, 17-18 and 18-19. The next slide is looking at the budget composition across the program. And we can see that environmental programs take the largest share. Those are shaded in green on top. So looking at the composition of the programs, the environmental programs take the largest share of the department's budget, whereas chemicals and waste management account for the smallest portion of the budget. Chemicals and waste management are the top ones in blue. So they take the smallest portion of the department's budget. When we move to the next slide, this is now presenting the budget by economic classification. Also, it's looking at the 3 year backwards and then adjusted appropriation for 15-16 and then 3 year forward looking. We can see the composition of employees, goods and services, transfers and subsidies, and for capital assets. And what the Commission would like to indicate, Chairperson, is that looking at the figures, the transfers and subsidies are significant due to the four entities that fall under their department. The next slide is projecting, in terms of the graph, the budget composition across the economic classification. And once again, Chair, we can see in the color shaded in green that the department transfers more than half of its budget to its entities. And then moving to the next slide, which is slide 18, it's showing the expenditure outcomes and adjusted appropriation. And we can see the two colors, there is red and there is blue. The first red at 108.3 is oceans and coasts, and the second is chemicals and waste management. And from that graph, a chapter seeing that most of the programs, for example, administration is 98.4, legal is 99.4, climate change is 98.9, biodiversity is 99.7, environmental programs are 97.7. The Commission is tabling that the spending on average is good. The next slide is portraying the statutory bodies that are supporting the work of the DEA. This was said earlier by AG. These are the four entities: the South African National Biodiversity Institute, the South African Weather Service, South African National Parks, and lastly is Mangaliso Wetland. We did, Chairperson, as well, outline the audit outcomes, but we wouldn't want to repeat what our colleague from AG had presented, so we'll skip the slide, and we'll move to slide 21, that looks at the transfers and other revenues for the entities in 2015-16. And what we would indicate, Chairperson, is the bottom bullet that says, Isimangaliso Wetland Park has been underspending over the past 2 years. For instance, the entity underspent by 8% in 2014-15, and this increased to 33% in the 2015-16. And we appreciate that the colleague from the Isimanganiso Wetland Park are here in case the committee would like the details of what transpired with regards to the underspending. The next part is DIA and EPWP. And as a commission, we're noting that DIA does focus on protecting the environment, reducing carbon emissions, reducing atmospheric pollutants, and adapting to the impact of climate change. And we are also noting the good work that the department chairperson is doing as far as EPWP is concerned, which is focusing on ensuring that these goals are achieved. And we've noted that in the 16-17 MTF, the department will transfer 8.5 billion to EPWP to create jobs, full-time equivalent, and also work opportunities in a range of environmental protection services over the period. And the commission is noting that part. And we would also like to indicate, Chairperson, that as part of our mandate, which is to do research, we have done research, our most recent, which is the 17-18 annual submission for the Division of Revenue, along the lines of EPWP. Just to indicate, Chair, our focus in the recent year was on rural development. And there were a number of topics that we covered, but the one wherein we looked at EPWP, it was on the public employment program. And we would like to table to the committee and also to the department the findings that we believe will assist in making EPWP effective. We found in our research that most of the jobs created in EPWP were located in the metropolitan area, which is 2%. And small towns, rural municipalities, only accounted for 16% each. And the other 16% is for the secondary town to make 100%. And rural areas do not benefit as much as the urban areas. So those percentages, they are saying to us, the benefits are mostly from the metro, but rural areas are not. So we are telling to the department to say, as they are planning for 16-17, please take into consideration these findings and also incorporate the rural areas in the program. And we have also found in the same study, Chairperson, that even though 61% of the beneficiaries from EPWP gained new skills, it's only 17% who were able to transition into sustainable jobs. So, in essence, beneficiaries are not getting good skills that lead them into formal employment or self-employment. So we are putting to the committee and to the department to say, kindly consider the nature of the skills that people gain in EPWP. But obviously this was EPWP across the spectrum. And as part of the recommendations that we made in the submission, and as they are, we are tabling them into the committee. The recommendations based on the findings of the study that has been indicated are that given that funding for public employment programs is insufficient to cover all unemployed, The forecast should be based on giving unemployed individuals without access to the grant opportunity. At present, a significant share of the participants are either on a social grant or they are employed elsewhere. And the Commission is also telling that government should also carefully balance the need to improve the conditions of employment and expand on the public employment program. The second recommendation that the study makes is that Public Works Treasury should ensure that the framework for EPWP on the Division of Revenue Act includes an explicit condition that appropriate training of recipients, especially in skills that promote self-employment opportunities, should be made mandatory. And another recommendation is that funding of job creation initiatives should be viewed in an integrated way with programs that absorb employment for individuals given funding priority, especially if these programs are targeting high unemployment loads in the municipalities that are categorized as B3 and B4. And the Commission is also tabling to the committee that the department and other government departments have initiated various good environmental protection measures. Some are new, and for some it may be necessary to establish their environmental impact. So the commission is saying to the committee that there are these initiatives, but the commission is putting forward that it would be necessary to establish their environmental impact since they were established. In terms of the national responses to environmental issues and climate change, the slide that we see, the Commission is tabling that the department is responsible for climate change imperatives and other governmental concerns, as well as cost-cutting measures. If we see the different programs, comparing the average growth rate of the budget from 12-13 to 15-16 and the average growth rate of the budget in 15-16 to 18-19. What the Commission would like to indicate is that there is significant growth in South African weather savings. And there is also significant growth in climate change adaptation budget. And with that, Honorable Chairperson, members and guests, on behalf of the SSP, we would like to say thank you. And while we are on that, Honorable Chairperson, the leader of the delegation for the SSP has just joined. She's Ms. Answa Maharaj Daura. They are not late Chairperson. There are many other committees, so they started there. And then they wanted to govern. My other colleagues also have just joined. So I would like to complete.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation. You are welcome. If you can just do the formal introduction and introduce another colleague of yours who's here.
Thank you.
Yes, we did receive an apology. Initially, you were supposed to present, I think, on Thursday, but we did request that you must do it today because it's better that we get this presentation before we proceed with the entities and the department at the later stage when we are ready with the annual report. So, thank you very much for accommodating us on that one. Colleagues, that's the full presentation. Very good information that you received. So, I saw members were jotting down when the presentations were made, but I just wanted to elaborate on slide 29 before I submit to members. Slide 24. National responses to environmental issues and climate change. I would like you to elaborate on this carbon tax, the fuel levy, and all of this. You understand my point?
Yes. Thank you very much, Chair Kassim. Probably before responding, let me indicate the intention for having this. The Commission knows the good initiatives that the Department have and that are environmental related. Carbon tax is one, general fuel levy is another, the plastic bag levy is number two, electricity levy is another, a bulb levy is another, the new motor vehicle emissions act is another, there is just one which is the car levy. And all the Commission is saying, this has been introduced some recently, some time ago. So the Commission is telling that it will be beneficial for oversight purposes if the Department can also outline that since these were introduced with the purposes that they intended, what has been the environmental impact before and after. So we are tabling that. We know about it, but we are putting forward that it would be interesting to know what impact have they made, comparing the before and the after.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Set the tire levy also.
Yes.
I suppose it's still under discussion. It hasn't been finalized. It hasn't. My information is that it's still, and maybe we shouldn't go into that because we are still awaiting a presentation on that one, specific one. We got it in our
paper.
It's not covered?
To indicate things, because we've not seen this presentation and we've not interacted with the police. Also, similarly, the carbon tax is still in process.
Okay.
It's not yet behind it, but I hear that there the commission's recommendation that when all of these are implemented, what are the outcomes? And whether, and they are commenting that we probably then focus on some investigation around those outcomes, comparing before to the after.
Yeah, which is a very good recommendation, I think, that we must evaluate the impact of this and whether some of this is having the desired impact. And, for instance, some of the levies there, are they used for the purposes for which it was intended? Members, thank you very much for the presentation, AG and SSC. Did I see your hand or your comment? Maybe let's start from this side.
Thank you very much,
Chairperson.
Actually, it's a comment, it's not a question. So thank you to the
Thank you very much, Honorable Khadem. Honorable Makube.
Thanks, Chair. Well, I am smiling other than the good presentation tonight. It's because Honorable thought you were pointing at me.
Yeah, Honorable Madhuri came late. I don't know what's wrong. Honorable must make special arrangements for you. It's becoming habitual, Honorable Madhuri. Yeah, I saw the SMS. I was saying it's becoming a trend now. We must make special arrangements so that you are here on time.
Thanks, Chair. Well, thanks for the presentation, sir, again. For very much, I was my colleagues, the Chair, and the Honorable Khadija Sahib. It may not really be a question that will be necessarily provoking serious responses, but just to establish a few things. I take it that what has been presented, which is good, is that none of the entities got a qualified, got an adverse or a disclaimer. And are on unqualified claim or with some emphasis, which is a good one. But on one or two, I think the issue is about them repeating that. Being there repeated here and it's a cause for concern. I've noted at the end the issues that we're raising, which management should do, the portfolio committee should do to ensure that we improve. Like there are those on poor quality of the financial statements that have been made and so on, and asking them to ensure certain things. But just to check on this very one. I think that as well the AG, you discuss with the entities on your findings. So it's known to the entity. And having discussed with them on all of those issues, what has been their response, so that we don't go and meet the entities when we question them. They give us their own vision, and they have not said so. I know some people are still going to meet them, who can still question them, they are not here today. Later on, we'll interact with some parts who may want to understand from them why certain things, even if it's not really now, happened as you explained it. Ismangalis as well may still have to share with us what could have led the understanding from 8 to 33%. But that's the general point, sir. That these entities were engaged, they responded to the AG, what was their vision to you?
Thank you very much. I think those are the two comments. Can we just get comments from I think with some you were meeting some on I think the point that is coming across from the AG is that they seem like they are going to drop the ball. It's for two consecutive years that there's been material misstatements, amendments to their financial statement, and the reason why it's in red is that I just say next financial year, if the trend continues, they may find themselves making a qualified appeal. So something to watch. We'll talk to them when they come in. You don't want them to answer your question first.
No, I'm just saying the department of the should have their own as well. I want them to know about this. run their own issues about the entity and what they're doing there, like on basic internal controls, you know, how is the department assisting the entities and all that.
Yeah. No, no, we will, maybe you must keep your questions like that, and then when we deal with the department, with the entities, we then have to zoom into that. Remember, all entities have got boards, and the boards play a particular role in terms of ensuring that the proper governance, the proper internal controls, financial statements are prepared in a manner that is in line with the requirements, draft or whatever reporting standards that are there. But you can respond to the question whether the entities were engage with the entities on some of the issues there.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Through the Honourable Member of the Bella, we follow the normal processes. There's a management report that details the findings. There's an audit report. There are audit steering committee meetings that are held with the client. The management report, the audit report, is discussed at the audit committee. And I think there's a lot of dialogue before even putting the finding to the management report. What is management's response? And I just see from my colleague now, he's actually opened up management's response to that issue. So there's a lot of dialogue. We have to follow the normal processes. We warn them up front. There's a dashboard report, important, that indicates to them, be aware of this, be aware of this. And I think if you look at the Stanby issue, it's coming from a previous year as well. So I think there's been enough warning in the system, and there's been a lot of dialogue and communication. But I'll hand over to my colleague, who, I don't know if he wants to recite the response, or how does he want to do it?
Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Member, I just want to say that in the response, they agree that the finding is valid, and they do commit to enhance their controls as well as around assets and reporting around assets. So they did agree that they're going to enhance control going forward on their assets and maintain a proper asset register going forward.
Yeah. So there is that interaction that takes place. I must say that the picture looks good, that you've got four entities, all of them received qualified, apparently one with some emphasis, which is coming on what you would say today that you're going to engage with, because there's a comment you made there is that if it remains like this, it's going to be to slide into a qualification, and we must help them to avoid that qualification. Because, as you say, it does look like the financial statements were corrected in the process of audit. When they have already been submitted. So, we will then deal with, we then engage with them so that we can avoid that. But I think same process has improved a lot from what I pick up from here. I think there's somewhere where you say they've overperformed and they raise picked up issues. So why are you overperforming here? But I think it's quite it communicates a good message. I must say that it would have been better if even the department was here so that it completes the whole picture
But of course, it's not here for the reasons that the minister has explained. And once they are ready, then engage with them. FFC, you have given us a nice overview of the department, how they are spending, the growth, the decline in the programs. And I think it's good information for the department to just take that into consideration. I like the fact that you take 3 years back, 3 years forward, so that it gives you a bigger picture of whether there is growth in allocation or is going down. Because I can tell you one of the things that in the mix of all these priorities, national priorities, things like environment, they get the slip in terms of allocations. Because people will think, no, this thing, you don't make the impact. No, we must allocate to service delivery, housing, social, all of those things. And the world has come to realize that you must pay particular attention to environmental issues. If you are to have a healthy economic development and growth. I think, members, we are done. Must thank you very much for coming, FSC and Auditor General. We are ready now to get presentation from Senparks and its Mangalis. Yeah, if you can just move and occupy those chairs there. Because it looks like these chairs here are very hot chairs. Yeah, for people who are going to receive a serious questioning. So we must get the chief executive of Senparks to occupy those chairs. If he does that, I think I must say I've got a call from the chair of the board. Senparks that she will be arriving this morning for the overseas trip. She was apologizing that she would not be able to make it because she was scheduled to arrive here at 8. But she did say that there will be a rest from the board. Yeah. So if you can also. You must occupy the first one. Are you going to present also?
Chair, I'm very sick this morning. I'm going to request my colleagues to prepare.
All right.
But I'm good as a connection.
So we'll start with Senparks and then we'll finish off with the Smangal Resource Alliance. You're welcome, Ms. Dr. Matlo, you are welcome. With your team, you can just give us an introduction of the mask and then hand over to your team. The DG has said she will be moving around half past 10, so 12, okay? Yeah, 12, so we are going to do that. Dr. Matlo?
Yeah. President, members, thanks once more on behalf of the Board of South African National Park. Pleasure to be presenting to you on the annual report of 2015-16. As the CEO, Mr. Nketeni, has said, he is not feeling too well, and I'm in danger of getting a cold.
People who work at the Kruger, they don't get well throughout the year.
So the CEO, Ms. McCourt, will present on our behalf. Then there's a swelling team behind us if we have questions. We will ask this chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning, honourable members, once again, honourable chair. This presentation will look very familiar to you, chair, because we've been through the quarter four performance report with you, and there is nothing new, but we appreciate that this is the formal presentation of the annual report. So we'll try to elaborate a little bit on the questions that were asked during that session to clarify more. But this is basically presenting the annual report, the performance for. Chair, with your permission, I will not repeat the vision and mission, just to say that everything that we are doing is linked to a sustainable national park system connecting society, that it's not two separate things, that it is combined, that the purpose for us is to be connecting the society as well. That map is just to remind you of our geographical footprint. We have 19 parks. If you read in the report, you will see different numbers being mentioned because there are two that is added. The one is head office, which is declared or proclaimed a national park, but it's not functioning as a national park, which is Goedenkloof. And the other one is one that has not yet been deproclaimed, which is the former Faalbos, which has been replaced by Mukala, and apart from Faalbos, the Graspan part of Faalbos, which is outside of Kimberley, is still technically declared, but it is no longer a national park. So there is 90 national parks. We manage them through five regions. Kruger is a region on its own. And then we have the northern cluster, which is Mapungubwe, Marakele, and Golden Gate in the Free State. We have the Frontier and Garden Route cluster, which is mostly the Eastern Cape, touching on the Western Cape. Then we have the Cape Cluster, and the Cape Cluster is basically Table Mountain, West Coast, and South of Karoo. And then the Arid Cluster, which is mostly in the Northern Cape, also touching a little bit onto the Western Cape. For the 15-16 year, Chair, you would remember that we informed you the previous time that we have quite substantially reviewed the strategy for Sandpark. So the 16-17 strategy map looks substantially different because we've added the whole issue about socio-economic transformation as a pillar into our outcome area, into our strategy. But for the year under review, that was the strategy map. We had six strategic objectives, and for some reason the bottom of the slide is cut off the chair, which is talking about the area of human capital development and management, but the core areas are mentioned there in terms of what we were aiming to achieve. In terms of just some of the highlights, just to get a bird's eye view of what we've achieved, we had in order almost 6 million visitors to national parks last year, and just for interest sake, it is partially because we had in the last financial year two Easters. We had an Easter in April 2015 and we had an Easter in March 2016, which was two Easters, two bumper weekends in one financial year, which contributed to both that as well as the tourism revenue that was also higher than projected as a result of those two Easter weekends in one financial year. This year we are without Easter, but it doesn't look too bad where we are. We might still be able to we've seen some increases in some visitor numbers in Table Mountain specifically. The average unit occupancy is 73. Chair, what is important there is that it's almost 10% above the national occupancy rate in the tourism industry. The national one was 64 at the time that we compared it here, and the gap is still growing. So our occupancy rates in the parks are higher than the national average. The tourism revenue was almost 1.5 billion. We had a marked increase in black visitors. Chair, that wasn't an indicator in last year's performance objectives, because there was a question from the AG in the past about the measurability thereof, and we have now reintroduced it back into our indicators with a margin of error to get around the absolute measurability around that. But it is an important objective of Sandparks to transform our visitor base, and therefore we are not really considering dropping it as an indicator of our performance. The SMME support, 213 million, was spent on SMEs. That includes SMEs through the Expanded Public Works Program. And then the free access to national parks, that number is substantially higher than the target, and that was for two main reasons that it was. Firstly, the target was understated. There was a printing error in our APT. And secondly, we had two major presidential visits to Kruger who had additional unplanned free access to our national park system. So I think those are the highlights in terms of performance from a commercial perspective. That is just in terms of our employment. Permanent in Sandparks, we are just over 4,000 employees. Then contracts and temps within the organization, just under 1,000. Expanded Public Works is 6,250. The last one we think is understated, and we are working this year on a way to see exactly what is the direct employment related to the concessionaires, the PPP contractors working within our park. A conservative estimate then is basically to say that on a daily basis, 13,200 people get up to work in or for a national park. In terms of our Expanded Public Work Program, our social impact, and I think we are slightly different from the statistics mentioned by the Fiscal Commission, in that in our case, it's mostly in rural areas where this work is created, because our parks are situated in rural areas. Only with the exception of some of the Working for Coast work, which is happening around the three coastal metros that we are working on. The rest of the work is always in rural areas. 55% of all of the people in our Working for programs, various Working for programs, are women, and 70% are younger than 35 years old. If we then go specifically against performance against target, Chair, you will see there just good performance. Basically, it means the target was met or exceeded. We have, in all instances, in the annual report, this very annual, thick annual report, did correct as per the AG finding, even where we've overachieved. We have indicated in the amended AOPO's annual performance objectives that we were. What has contributed to the overachievement, if it was indeed overachievement or where targets have been missed. Work in progress is where we marginally missed the indicator, and for this we used the measure that is used by the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, where they talk about 90% achievement as being work in progress, and then if a target has not been achieved, in other words, less than 90% of the target has been realized. In terms of our budget variance, that's basically as a Schedule 3A public entity, we are supposed to break even. So our cost shouldn't outweigh our income. And that is basically what that ratio is saying, that our income to cost ratio should be 1:1. We have made a slight profit last year, but it is and the CFO will be able to explain that it is an accounting profit, it's not a real profit because it is 15 cents, but he can explain it better than me. Then in terms of the gross operating tourism revenue, there we have exceeded, and as I've explained already, we've achieved 14.7% year-on-year growth, and it is directly attributable to the fact that we have two Easters in 1 year. So we had two bumper seasons in 1 year, which means that we have exceeded the target there. we have also accordingly downward adjusted our projection for growth in this current financial year. Total number of revenue generating projects, we have achieved. Chair, there we need to be very honest, it was not an overachievement because we've done additional work. It's an overachievement because we finalized the project that was supposed to be finalized the year before. So last year we were one off target, and this year we've met our target and we've caught up with the one that we were supposed to do the previous year. The fundraising policy and strategy development, the strategy has not been developed and finalized. This is specific, we have to report it as such, as the indicated descriptor has said that it would be approved by the board. And by the end of the financial year, it has not yet been approved by the board. And therefore, in terms of the strategy, although there was a draft strategy in place, the draft strategy was discussed with the board, it was not finalized in the financial year. Accommodation occupancy, we've marginally exceeded the target. Customer satisfaction index also marginally exceeded the target. Here, I think we need to declare, as we did in the technical indicator descriptor, is it is a voluntary basis of feedback. It is not formal, so that every customer do get a questionnaire to complete. Not everybody do complete it, so this is based on the responses that we've received back. And then, as I indicated, the total number of visitors to park has exceeded our expectations. The MET score, Chair, this was one of the ones where the Auditor General wanted us to explain the 1%. It is incredibly difficult to explain that 1% because we're talking about 70 indicators that are measured in 19 parks, and then the average of each park score is calculated to that. So it's very difficult to say why that 1% increase is there. Secondly, what is important to note there is that the MET score is not an absolute measure. It is a category type of measurement. And in terms of the DIA management effectiveness tool is what MET stands for. The management effectiveness tool, anything above 67%, a category above 67% means that you are effectively manage the conservation estate. So whether we have 70 or 71, it means the exact same thing. We are effectively managing the conservation estate. The total hectares of land rehabilitated or restored. So here you will see that our figures are in some instances up and in some instances down, and we normally ask the department to respond to this because this relates directly to the expanded public works program and to the budget transfers related to the expanded public work program and the approval of business plans related.
Is there anything missing in this? Hello, Tika. Are we able to listen to the presentation? Yes, proceed.
Thank you, Chair. So the annual target in the instance of the total hectares of land rehabilitated, this is basically working for water programs where alien plants are removed or working for wetlands where we restore wetland areas that have been destructed. We've exceeded the target because there was a request to focus on new areas rather than follow-up areas based on the budget changes as was referred to in both the reports from the Fiscal Commission as well as from the Auditor General where there was budget changes in the expanded public works program during the year. The total area added to the national park, this is again an area where we have an absolute number of hectares targeted, but you can imagine that we are in a negotiation process with landowners, so often we get additional land or the land that we get we don't totally get. So that is why we have slightly exceeded in that year because we had two portions of land added. One was a purchase that was added to Makala National Park and the other one was an additional addition through a contractual park in an aquapark, which park now was slightly amended as well. In terms of the marine areas, Chair, we've been receiving quite a few questions, including from yourself, around why do we have a zero hectare target here. The main reason for that is that the declaration of marine protected areas is a protracted process that is not within control of the sandbox entity. The marine protected areas get declared through the ministerial process, and we are now in a process of quite a few linked to Pakisa that will be added, and for some of them we will be the management authority. So if you look over the NTX cycle, there are targets for marine areas added to the conservation estate, but it is not possible for us as Sandparks to say exactly in which year which marine protected area would come online. It depends on that legal process that also goes through Parliament as well in terms of the proclamation. The park management plans reviewed, we review two every year, and we are on target with the two that we had to review last year. They have been done and the corrective measures are being implemented. In this regard, Chair, the ones that are earmarked for this year and next year, we are doing jointly with the Department of Environmental Affairs in order to have them recognized in terms of NEMPA as a strategic environmental instrument that can then be used for environmental regulation of activities in the park. Species protection plans, we have met that target. In the detailed report, you will see which are included in there, but it includes the upgrade of the black rhino management plan, as well as the plan related to cycads, and then four other species that we have identified as priority species. In terms of cultural heritage interventions implemented, here we're talking specifically around cultural heritage site management plans. We have targeted five and all five have been achieved. This is an area where we have increased our ambitions substantially in all 3 years, as we are responsible for at least one World Heritage Site, which is a World Heritage Site based on cultural Mapungubwe. It's based on cultural reasons that it has been declared originally. Research projects, we have marginally exceeded the target. The total number of peer-reviewed papers. This one, we have substantially exceeded the target, and there was a feeling both in our board as well as with the committee that it is because we have under-targeted. As explained to me by the scientists is that it is very difficult to very accurately predict when it will be published as a peer-reviewed publication, because most of these are not happening in, it's not published in the year that it is being drafted. So we have a process of all of them accumulating in 1 year. Next year we may substantially miss the target, but if we work on the number of scientists that we have and the number of scientific research programs that is in place, 20 is a reasonable number that we can be expecting. Some years it's more, some years it's less. Therefore, we're actually reporting it in a 2-year, 3-year cycle and not in an annual cycle as a more reliable measure. Chair, here is where I've explained previously why we have totally exceeded the free access entrance. There was a material problem with the annual target, and we had two presidential events during the year that increased the number. Total number of environmental education impact assessment tools developed. We have developed two tools to assist us with new cultural heritage sites, interpretation sites, and both of them have been completed. The participation in environmental education programs, we have exceeded the target there as a result of taking in more interns and as well as the program being aligned with the curriculum of the school. Jerry, you would you might recall, the committee might recall that we were below the target when we did the mid-year report last year, and that we've reported to the committee at the time that it is because the Department of Basic Education has cut down on school day visits. We have amended our program to be in school holidays, to have our kids and parks programs more in school holidays than during the school time, and we have also aligned the environmental education program together with the work that DIA has done on that with the curriculum so that it can be considered as an on-curricular expedition or outing rather than an off-curriculum learning source. In terms of the total number of full-time equivalent jobs created, this is directly related to the delay in approval of the business plan as well as funding constraints within the year that we have created less than targeted, although we have done some serious catching up over the last two quarters. We could not catch up the losses that we had in the first quarter in this regard. And the same is for the other jobs. Chair, this is actually a bad story that's a good story, because what we are counting here is interns and temporary learnership. For example, you would be aware of the Groense Benza program that Sandy had run. Unfortunately, that program came to an end in October last year, which have depleted our numbers somewhat, but the better and one thing is a good story. The fact that we have not met the target is because the majority of the 196 that were in the beginning of the year there were absorbed into permanent jobs. So although the internship number was not met, we managed to ourselves and through our partners permanently absorb 50 of the learners into the sector, into permanent jobs. So it's a target that we're not too sad that we have missed it, because there was permanent jobs that came out of it. The temporary jobs created through socioeconomic initiatives. Here we truly have under targeted, because we have not had the baseline that we had was not around the formalized program, and we have just marginally increased it above the baseline that we had, and we've implemented a formalized socioeconomic development program through the year, and therefore the numbers of jobs that we could create, although it still seems small, you will see it exponentially growing over the years, were much higher than what we started. In the enterprises I spoke about earlier, the community contractual agreements in place, in this instance, we were over-ambitious with the five that we've targeted. These contractual agreements with communities take years to negotiate to a mutual beneficial area and for it to be actually be concluded as a contractually binding agreement. We have managed to do three out of the five. We have subsequently added two, and if you see in our quarter one and quarter two reports, you will notice that we have made some substantial progress with at least two of the communities that we are working with in this regard, as well as reviewing the rest of the shelf communities. The media engagement, that should be media releases, we have amended it mid-year, and again, it is a very difficult thing to target. We have again increased it because it depends on what media worthy things happen. Sometimes we have, for example, a fire, and then there's a lot of media interaction around the fire. You would know the second escape of Sylvester from Karoo National Park. There was a number of media releases around that, and the two presidential visits to Kruger obviously also have generated additional media interest in the work that we are doing. And then the media reputation rating remains for last year relatively positive. The Auditor General report, you've received the feedback. In terms of the program against the risk response plan, we have totally overhauled based on the findings of our internal audit in the past and our audit and risk committee. So the overall the risk approach in the organization, the risk management framework has been reviewed and approved, and we have implemented 90% of the milestones in regard to that. Compliance with governance requirements, this is against the checklist that we received from Treasury and DIA, and we were 100% in compliance with that. Black as percentage of management, in this regard we count everybody from supervisor level upwards, so that is Patterson Band C and up as management, and 56.6% of that is has been filled by black individuals. In terms of women as a percentage of management, this is one of the stories. Chairs, you can see from the baseline, our baseline was 35% in 2014-15. In the middle of last year, this committee instructed us to align with the national targets in this regard, and we have increased it to 50%. It is, however, not physically possible for us to achieve that gap of 15 within one financial year. We have steadily improved. We are now at almost 58% already in the current financial year. But the reality is that we do not have sufficient vacancies. Our vacancy rate is less than 5%. So there is simply not enough vacancies or enough people early enough to retirement for us to fill that. If we fill every single vacancy that we currently have with a black female person, we will still not be reaching that target in the current year. Our projection is that we would only get close to it by 2020, really. In terms of people with disabilities, the same happened. We had a target that was substantially lower, and we requested to align with the national targets, which we have done. Here, the news was so bad at the end of last year, but we have very actively worked on this. We are currently at 1.8%, and by the end of this financial year, we will be meeting the 2%. We have engaged in very active with two associations in this regard, in order to ensure, and we've also retained some specific jobs for recruitment of people with disabilities. We also have sent out a general advert to say what are the areas of work that we're doing, get a CV database of people with disabilities that will then automatically be considered when one of those positions becomes available. Male-female, we are not doing too badly. We've met the targets there, even though it is a very male-dominated sector that we are in. We are managing to get almost to a 50% there. See, this one is a very topical issue right now, the employees meeting minimum educational requirements. This is again for C and upper. You would notice that the baseline there is indicated as 94%. This baseline was based on a sample of a survey sample in 2013-14, this was done, and this percentage was extrapolated from there. During the course of last year, we actually did the physical verification of every single individual that falls within the categories C and upper. We also not only looked at the degree papers, but we had the qualifications also verified externally that it is a valid qualification. With that process, we were at the end of the year at 67%, meeting the requirements. We have now subsequently verified more. We're close to 78% currently. The reality is that we will not exceed 80% by the end of this financial year. Some of the qualifications required is a 3-year qualification or 5-year qualification, which cannot be achieved before the end of this financial year. But we have also rolled out recognition of prior learning programs, that will get us to at least 80% of our staff meeting the minimum requirement. In terms of performance appraisals, we are on target there. Okay, this one is looking different on the one that have been circulated to you, the success rate of the CCMA. And we want to declare that there's actually an error in the annual report. We are correcting it and we'll have a corrective notice. What they have done is they put the baseline as the target. The target was 85%, not 100% as indicated on your presentation. So our actual performance is above the target by 96.5%. We actually had only one case partially awarded against us. We won half of it and we've lost half of it. There were two orders, the one we won and the other one the employee, ex-employee one. The skills development plan we have
which
done.
Case is that?
It is a case related to an employee in Mukala, where it was around, they found that we were substantially fair, but procedurally unfair, as there was some evidence that was not admitted in the disciplinary hearing. So it was a dismissal case. Yes. So it was concluded that the dismissal was substantially fair, but procedurally unfair, and therefore we had to pay compensation for the procedurally unfair. The progress against the implementation of the skills development plan has been implemented on target. So in terms of the interventions relating to rhino poaching, this again has not been a target in our APP, but we have continuously reported on this because again of the verification of that you cannot say this is absolutely the number, you can come to another carcass in a later case. But we can, however, with confidence say that it has stabilized, that we are lower by about 17% this year than we were the year before, that we had quite substantial arrests, including recently some of our own that was covered in the media. We have also seized firearms from poachers, and we have recruited additional 150 rangers in addition to what we had previously. In terms of going forward, we continue with the joint law enforcement programs. We continue to focus on the intensive protective zone, the cooperation with neighboring countries through the national department, and of course the institutions that are in place for this. We increasingly use modern technologies, as was reported to you at the colloquium. And then we also have the active involvement of neighboring communities in terms of benefiting from the program and having part of ownership of this. We have to, however, Chair, and I think this is part of the not-so-good news, is that some of the major funding initiatives, external funding initiatives, have come to an end now, and we will be requiring additional funding from whatever resources we can get to maintain the work that was funded by donor funding up to date. And we'll see if I can elaborate a little bit more on this, but we're talking about $15 million a year to maintain just the Howard Buffett fund investment into the south of Kruger around the technology to be utilized there.
Chairman,
this note I'm going to hand over to the CFO for the financials.
Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. The financial statements, as we have it before us, was tabled before this committee when we reported on the fourth quarter. I'll go through it again, Chair. In terms of our revenue section, we have improved year on year from 1.44 billion to 1.61 billion. So that is a combination of price increases that were introduced year on year, as well as real growth in certain areas of the business. Chair, in terms of the government grants, we recognize the government grants that that's 23. That's the accounting standard that guides us, that the CFO was alluding to earlier. And what often happens, Chair, is the conditions, when the conditions of the grant are met, we are expected to recognize the revenue, but the assets may not have been properly capitalized at that point. So which means the depreciation cost, Chair, will come in later years, as opposed to when the revenue is recognized. This creates an imbalance between surpluses in the earlier years and deficits in the later years. And the result is that over a period of 5 to 6 years, it then balances itself out. And therefore, the surpluses that I'm going to refer to just now are in fact an accounting surplus rather than a cash surplus. Next slide, please. So, Chair, I think for us, the one area of focus is the employee-related costs. We have got certain strategies in place to look at our employee-related costs, but for the year, year on year, it grew roughly about 37 million. Chair, in terms of the bottom line surplus you see there, as I said, this is an accounting profit, not a cash surplus profit, and with the result, we have applied to the department for the surplus to be retained within SANPARC rather than return to the fiscus. Thank you, sir. Chair, we are now on the balance sheet section, the statement of financial position. Year on year, Chair, the balance sheet overall looks fine. The cash and cash equivalent has grown by roughly 100 million. Of course, cash and cash equivalents are made up of a combination of own income, grant income, as well as donor funding. Next slide, please. Now, I think, Chair, what's important is that when one compares the net current asset position to the net current liability position, we are well above 1-to-1 ratio, which means from a liquidity point of view, we are able to meet our short-term cash flow obligations. And so that's a good thing. However, Chair, the area that management and the board are completely focused on and that we will continue working on, if we could just next slide here. No, sorry, up. My apologies. Go back, please. Right, thank you. Chair, it's to do with our post-retirement medical funding. That obligation is a serious obligation for us, and we are working on it. We are still in the process of developing a strategy in terms of how we will deal with the matter. As previously reported to this committee, Chair, we have in fact sought guidance from attorneys who have advised us. We are consulting with entities within our cluster, Sandy in particular, to have an understanding of how to approach the problem before we can fully crystallize our thinking in terms of the problem. It's going to be a complex discussion, Chair, but it's a discussion that would need to be held, because currently the obligation sits at 486 million, last year 456 million, so year on year there was a 30 million pound growth, and that's not a healthy position, because very soon it may render our financial statement to be technically insolvent, if not factually insolvent. So it's very much at the top of our radar, and we will continue working on the matter, Chair. In fact, a week ago, last week, we met with Sandy, the CEO and the COO, and we learned from them, through their experiences, knowledge sharing, how they had approached the problem, they will share some written information with us as well, and we will progressively work on the matter, but with priority. Chair, that pretty much brings me to the end of the financial section. And if there are any questions, I will be able to answer.
Chair,
then lastly,
this is just what.
That's the software.
Oh, my apologies, Chair.
To confirm what the AGS said earlier, what the audit is that we have received. So I won't. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And that is the overall performance.
Thank you very much. You want to elaborate on the decrease in funding for the Rhino Corporate CEO?
We, from government side, we have been allocated funding, but it's never enough. But there's been a lot of fundraising and that one, because they talk about 255 million. It has come to an end, but to maintain that infrastructure, that's where the challenge is. Hence, we want to approach Treasury, because on the eastern boundary, we've planned a fence, electronic fence. On the western boundary, we put a cable, a seismic cable. It's heavy to maintain that. Hence, we want to go now to Treasury to say, how do we maintain that infrastructure moving?
So you're not going to fundraise again.
We are. We are. Yeah. We are. You see, in our in this year's APP, we have put a target to continue fundraising.
All right. Okay, colleagues, that is the report. let's engage. Honorable Khadem, we'll just come.
Okay.
But yeah.
Thank you very much. While you are still on the same part, you're talking mutual fundraising. If you look at slide 7, according to the challenges of corrective measures, the strategy and policy will be finalized and implemented in 2017 and 2018. I would like to know who's delayed this strategy approval. Why was it delayed? Because according to what we have said from the CEO, they are really struggling with finances. If we delay this strategy of fundraising, then we also have issues with finances of the entity. I would like to know who caused the delay of approving this strategy of fundraising. Because it's crystal that it gets approved. Then the next question is on page 9, slide 9, there is also a delay in approval of the business plan. How was it delayed? Who delayed the business plan to create equivalent, to create full-time equivalent jobs, as we are currently sitting with a high unemployment in this country? And this is critical that whatever opportunity that we get as a country or entities, we create this job opportunity for the millions and millions of South Africans, almost 9 million of people who are unemployed. Who delayed this, the approval of the work of the business plan? Those will be the two questions that I think.
Okay.
And I understand it seems to be in there, which is great. But the challenge, I suppose, the corrective measures and challenges. There's none, because full-time employment are encouraged. It doesn't make sense, because it says it's encouraged, but it's a target. So just explain that to me a little bit more. Because if it's a full-time job, and it's encouraged and done, so that maybe in my age, I don't know. But actually my question there is whether it was budgeted for, when it comes to the target, because then it should have said under corrective measures as well, you know, instead of none, you need to correct it to not reach the target. It sounds like I'm being horrible, so my agent doesn't understand. Okay. And then the other one is on slide 19. The number of community contracts, basically the agreements thereof. If you can just maybe explain a little, elaborate more on the challenges. I think mainly because we have spoken about it before, getting the community involved, etc. I get that it's difficult to work with people, especially your community around the park. And then also, where in which parks did you, the three targets, which communities were that, which parks actually? And then also, for in the next year or two or three, your target's obviously gonna increase. So how are you gonna catch up if it's already a challenge? Oh, you also have got the last one. Sorry, that was my first question on slide 7. The 9.5 increase in gas services. It's probably a stupid question, but my head wants to know how. How do you get to the 9.5% increase? Do people fill in the form saying, what's my rating, what's my sex, what's my, that kind of thing? When they're a day visitor as well, only or when they want to stay over?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
My question is on fish trends. With the people with disabilities and women, why have you failed to meet your target of 2%? What will you do to address this business? It's a short question. Thank you, Mami.
Mr. Chair, let's remember
next
question. No, she was saying fish trials.
Yes.
Oh, it's not slide 12.
It's
slide 12.
There's no indication of
the slide. Oh, we're not using the same one. Oh, slide 23. Yeah. I'm having this package here. So,
Now we have seen turnaround completely. So we need to congratulate the CEO and the team, especially for the unqualified report with no methods of emphasis. So good work, it must be sustained. No complaints. Thanks very much, Chair, because we turned them around many times. Now, Chair, the first question that I want to ask. Now, mine is page 11. It's just under the Auditor General audit report. I just want to check if it's the correct formulation, or is it a mistake or what? They say unqualified with no other method. Is it a mistake?
Yes.
It can't be correct. It can't be like that.
Method.
Yes. Now, the point that I want to make is that at this level, we expect really, I'm not trying to be funny, but there must be proofreading. We can't be in a portfolio committee coming correct some of these letters. I mean, we read the documents that we get and we underline. I'm not in a touch. I've got a red pen underlined. So, but that does not take away the good work that we are doing. But I'm saying that it's a silly mistake that should not be repeated. That's the question. Chair, I know it might not be possible. I said that I've got a different document, so I'll leave the pages. I'll just ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
Around the SMME support, it will be interesting for me that you disaggregate it so that we see in terms of problems. That 230, how does it translate to, if it is possible, especially where you have a footprint. Okay. This time around, the CEO has not confused us around the profit and the surplus. I know we have been asking that question many, many times, so I will not repeat that. But I know one of my colleagues has asked the question around the approval of the board. We just want to check what are the reasons, really. Is it because, in terms of the strategy, were there deficiencies in the strategy, inadequate, are there gaps, so that we don't assume as members of the portfolio committee, but we get the concrete reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was for me very important. Okay, with regard to the delay around the approval of business plan, we were under the impression that Operation Papisa is terminating all our systems and all our programs of government, it's not only for the ocean. Papisa is simply do things. Now, if we are given as a portfolio committee a reason of delay, which is a human factor, for me it's a problem. It's not plausible. It can be. One, it's either poor planning, two, poor implementation strategy, or dereliction of duty. And then we don't get any remedial action. It's open-ended. How do you address it? That will be on those that I thought I'm a post-chair. And then now coming to the Rhino, not the Rhino, the Rangers. I know that you have read your statement congratulating the Rangers on Rangers Day. They're good. And in your publication, the Sun Puff Times, in your editorial, you're also congratulating the Rangers. Now, in your report, you have stated that a number of Sun Puff staff were arrested since 2008, when rhino poaching incidents started. Now, as a member of the portfolio committee, I'll be interested in the profile of those arrested. First and foremost. Secondly, how they were arrested. Now, with regard to the Rangers, we are always concerned because we have done physical visits. We have been in the Kruger. We have visited their education, their places of stay and everything. Now, I will be interested. It's last year, 2015. What are the working conditions of the ordinary Ranger since their time and now? That's the first thing. What is the basic salary? And what are the benefits to prevent them from being co-opted in the slaughter of rhinos? Thank you very much, Chief, for the opportunity granted. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Honorable Mabili. Honorable Makure.
Chair, thanks. And let's turn to the report on this. I think it has shown that a lot of work
Just a few questions. I just want for interest to know how many bank accounts we have. We never reported on it, but I think it's more. There's a bank account that doesn't a bank that you bring to me in the main that went through tender process. Standard bank that was dictated to by the other foundation and all that. What are these conditions? There are other accounts of course, but I'm just saying, we understand to what extent can you be dictated to? What are these conditions? And even as you went through time, you need to stay, you know, not the validation that you go out of your way to then go to standard things. The woman might not have gone through things. I think that is most comprehensive. The other issue is, I know that at some parts you have outsourced the internal audit, the function. So in as much as the CFO has the necessary expertise and so on, but the internal audit function is not within what compels people to go outside. Council brings that capacity in-house and pay particular charges or whatever costs associated with that. There's an impression on one slide there, I think I've forgotten the slide number, which talks to women challenges, meeting the target and so on. And you indicated that you have established a woman forum, which is good. But then, part of your mission is to ensure that professional women are attracted to the company. Why is it like professional women are not attracted to Santa? Why can they be attracted to any other institution and not Santa? And they are professional. And you are appointing them in a professional level in terms of their jobs, not other jobs that may be challenging to their skills or whatever. I'm just asking the question. The last part, check. In slide 26, dealing with rhino poaching and so on, amongst other things, modern technology and so on and so forth, is also cooperating with neighboring countries, in particular Mozambique. Now, what is the progress in that regard? As Mozambique come on board, can we safely say that we have done tremendous progress in that regard? Yeah, I think that's
it. Oh, I thought you're still giving a preamble to the question. Okay, those are the questions. Maybe must just add mine. We attended the People and Parks Conference last month. A very successful 3-day conference, which was
very successful. And one of the issues that were raised by communities there was that they go to such conferences, take resolutions, of course with the participation of the department and other people, but the other departments and the entities, they don't come to the party, meaning they don't follow up the resolutions that are taken in those conferences. And I see here in the report, they mention that community agreements, they take time to be concluded and all of those things. And I just want to get a sense from yourself as to how quick do you respond to such resolutions from the people in the parks conference? And then whether do you have anybody in your board who represents the community community component in the board. The protection of the species, the rhino and other species, how successful has been that program? And which are the species that require specific intervention in terms of its protection, whether endangered species or any other species. Now, the issue of a rhino conservation, and I'm sure that you are aware of the views that this committee holds in respect of the non-appreciation nationally, so of the fact that the manner in which the rhino was approached. And of course we must commend your efforts at the Kruger Park. But as it happens, as was observed in the people and parks and in the sites, that it may be possible that when you cap the poaching at the Kruger National Park, it will simply move to areas which are less protected. Not less protected, but they don't have the kind of protection that exists in Kruger, where you have invested in a whole host of things to protect the rhino and the other species. It may well be that it goes to the private rhino owners association, their conservation areas and so forth. But quite clearly, there is a crisis of poaching, which crisis has not been responded to adequately in terms of legislation. And we were thinking the other day, just having a discussion of trying to commission something in terms of having to look at legislative amendment to treat this type of crime as a very serious crime, where it will attract some kind of minimum sentences. I just want to get a view from your side. To what extent can we be able to walk with us through this journey? Because it is going to be a difficult discussion, given the fact that some other people may think that it is not necessary, that there is adequate legislation. And I've asked this question at the site events in the CITES. And the impression I got from the National Prosecuting Authority is that, no, the laws are sufficient to deal with this thing. While they themselves acknowledge that they are facing serious difficulty, the fact that there seem to be loopholes in the existing legislation, and there are a number of legislation that they use to to do the prosecution, which is not ideal, because ideally you should be having one set of acts that you can use maximum. So they grab here, they're matching the straws, grab this to think that it may be relevant. So I just want to get your views there. In as far as this posture that the committee is developing in respect of the protection of this species is concerned. But the others, I think you can just, some of the colleagues have touched on some of the aspects.
Thank you, Chair. We will share with the colleagues. I'm not sure this parliamentary level structure. So I'm going to try. And not being a certain part of it. I think on the issue of the fundraising strategy, as the policy overseer, we had asked for a policy in that regard, and the CEO has explained the whole challenge around reducing the government grant. Unfortunately for us, what was brought to the board had various weaknesses, a lot of cut and paste, and insufficient understanding of the Sun Parks business. So we sent it back. And as you yourselves have said, and have seen from what the AG said, I think the board has, you know, in the 1.5 years we've been there, have insisted that we are going to, land improved performance in our areas, and this is one of the areas, in a sense, in terms of policy that we're doing. So the issue of community representation on the board is interesting, but as you yourself would appreciate having parks all over the country, how do we, it would be an administrator appoints the board anyway. It would be interesting how these appointments would happen, because when you appoint near the Kruger, people in the Western Cape might say, why are we not represented and what have you? But nevertheless, I think to the extent that parks are next to community, it is something that should be considered.
Well,
like applied.
Not really to interject, but just to say, you are aware that communities have got a national body that represents all of them, which, what is it called? That
it's a people and parks national committee.
National
it's a committee,
yeah.
That deals with and it represents all the committees in all the provinces.
Yeah. So just to to give you more information so that you can formulate another response. You see, what the point is that you can't appoint here and there and there, but you can look at an organized body that represents the voice of all the communities, that has got systems and processes to report back to the rest of all of them.
In fact, safe to say, I think the department is represented here, and it being the minister's prerogative, I think indeed it is worth considering, and it would be useful because communities will then be bringing their issues directly onto Sandparks, and hopefully this will be dealt with them being represented. Thanks. I think those are the two specific issues.
Okay. Thank you, Doc.
Yes, sir, there's a vacancy. In the board, two vacancies. Therefore, that one will be handy. If I may go also, I'll share with the colleagues, the pastor, from the honorable members. Honorable Khadija, just to add on fundraising. St. Parks has been fundraising all year, but there was a lack of a document. Because if you don't have such a document, you run the risk of it even taking dirty money with a lot of strings attached. Hence we said we need strategy. What we have done, we developed what I would call an approach. It's a four-pager, whereby we're saying, whilst we're developing the strategy, our approach, there won't be a fundraiser in Sandparks. Anyone can fundraise, depending on the subject matter. That's what we do exactly. Our scientists will give them a mandate to go and talk to an issue to fund us.
Even now, I was supposed to be in the UK last week to do exactly that, but I became committed to the. But I'll do a follow up because you talked to different options. Then we'll do that for Asia while we develop the strategy. Because our worry was that based on what? Whom do we talk to? Therefore, the policy is trying to talk to exactly that. The business plans delay, I think colleagues will talk to that one. So you talk to Professor Lenza. In the community contracts, in the strategy document on page 43, we've listed all of those projects that you are talking to. Yes, of course, there's still a question that why is it red? Those are all the dynamics that we come across when we engage communities. The processes we must be candidate, they are very slow because people change leadership. You have CPAs you must deal with, you have other community structures. Therefore, you need to be able to maneuver through those dynamics. We do have chairperson, if I may add, people dedicated to work in building blocks. We even established a division called socio-economic development because we found that that was a gap that they had. Therefore, last year we established that division. It is more focused now to work on these projects to also facilitate the interaction with communities. In the different parks, you are right, Chair, there were complaints, but we have submitted our report on what we do in the area in working with the people. Therefore, the report is available. It can be made to the committee. We do, but it's not 100% perfect. The fact that we deal with people, we're always faced with those dynamics. The issue of black visitors, we talk to you, so, and also disabilities, Honorable Kegana. Honorable Mabino, the SLNP support, because we work the back, we can bring that report to see how many from each part, how many SMEs are supported in a particular region. Therefore, that report can be made available. The issue of rangers, CEO will talk to it, but we do pay different allowances to them because they can do the bush, they use bicycles, they handle dogs, they do a lot of stuff. Therefore, they are allowances that we pay to them. So again, talk to the actual salaries there. Yes, in the last while, we have about 23 of our own rangers that we are still. I think the modus operandi, they get reported. I don't think salaries can convince them. Hence, now we're having what we call support structures.
The wellness program.
Wellness program, yes. I'm not too happy to be. The wellness program that we put them through so that they can also need some integrity. But it's true, we're not leading agents here. Hence, even when I talk about them, we make them feel good that they're important. But there will be elements, of course, amongst them, those who are naughty, that they get arrested. But we have a plan that we are fast-tracking now to make sure that we go to the bottom of the issue. Therefore, there will be more of those arrests moving forward. CFO will talk to the banks and also to the internal audit. On working with Mozambique on technology, when we went to fundraise 2 years ago, with Peace Parks Foundation, with the Dutch Lottery, an amount of 30 million was allocated to Mozambicans. They do have a radio system that is linked to our radio system. We communicate with them. They also have a plane, a small plane that was bought and delivered. We also bought some equipment for them. They were improving in terms of communication. They've established more structures now. They have a special force that has been established by the new Minister of Mozambique that deals with issues of value budget. We've seen a lot of improvement because in the last while, about 75% of incursions were coming from Mozambique. We saw a drop now. Instead, people are moving around, coming on the South African side. Therefore, I must say, commend Mozambicans. They have improved implementing the MOU that was signed between Libya and the chair, all the species we protect, in our plan, you'll see we have identified about five of them. Elephants, on top of rhinos, we identified as a threatened, as a species, a threat risk. Cycads, they get stolen a lot. Abalone, although abalone is done by agriculture, yes, we also have MPAs that we manage, and also the penguins. There's a lot of work that is being done in other species, but in our plan, we identified the ones I just mentioned just now. The issue of people moving to other areas is a worrying factor for all of us, Chair, because we have our other five rhino parks. We were still lucky. Six rhino parks, is correcting me. Six rhino parks besides Kruger, where we have rhinos. But for now, yes, we are alert, we do proper patrols, but we've seen now KZN get affected and Eastern Cape. Yes, indeed, when they feel the pressure in Kruger, they will target those areas. The DBG can talk to this of Jones. We agreed when the priority committee on wildlife crime was established, we agreed that there must be both joints. We meant within subs. They must have provincial joints looking at issues of wildlife. Perhaps DDJ can add at some point, even on the issue of legislation. Because you are correct, when they charge them for money laundering, gun smuggling, human trafficking. They take from different pieces of legislation. Therefore, perhaps there's a need to look at it as a consolidated one. But I know in the last 5 years, there are a lot of amendments in the legislation to deal with rhinos. The other questions I leave them to my colleagues.
Thank you, Jay. I just want to add a little bit to the strategy. The problem in terms of what we have heard is we have outsourced the work. To develop the strategy, and we got the product back from somebody that doesn't understand our business. So we've basically now totally internalized that process and have started from scratch. Also, to avoid some of the things that have been wrong previously, Jay, anybody that's looked at the newspaper today would see that we are in a court battle with a previous fundraiser, because in the past we had an incentive-based fundraising where a commission was earned on the funds that you've raised on top of your salary, and that had adverse impacts on the whole credibility of Sandbox. So we are totally re-looking at that. What I can, however, report is that in the absence of the strategy, we are continuing to raise funds. We have raised more than 30 million in the current financial year, mostly related to rhino poaching or to anti environmental crime. In terms of the full-time equivalent and full-time jobs are two different things. Full-time equivalent remain a temporary job. So we take the number of temporary days and divide it by the number of days in a year, and we say they are full-time equivalent jobs. What happens in our instance is some of these Groenste Benza interns were permanently employed in either our organization or in the industry. So they had a full-time job, not a full-time equivalent. And that is why we are saying that is more desirable than a full-time equivalent. In terms of the budget, and that's why we say it's not a bad thing that they've been employed. We don't need to correct it. It was a good thing that they've got full-time employment. In terms of the budget, the bad news there is that with the coming to the end of the Groenste Benza program, It was funded through the Jobs Fund and it ended. So the Jobs Fund ended and Groen Sabenga is no more. So in terms of the other jobs that we now have, it is down to just our annual intern, which is a percentage of our compensation of employees budget that we use for internships annually and for external and internal bursars to work back their bursaries. In terms of the community contract, as we said in the report, it is stipulated it is not, the footprint is quite wide, ranging from the Richterschild to Addo and a couple of communities next to Kruger as well. So we're not concentrating only on one community, it relates to all of the areas. What makes it take long, and anybody that followed the Bujijan case, for example, is that there is certain processes also that need to go through legislation. We cannot be the management authority for land that is not proclaimed as a protected area. So you have the contractual agreement, and then there's still a proclaiming of the protected area that needs to happen before we can say it has been concluded, the process has been concluded. So that is what makes it take longer. And then also that you often have in the same geographical area different community interests. It's easier when we talk about a settled land claim that happens to be adjacent to us, because there the beneficiaries have been clearly identified. But if it is just tribal land, etc., there is often competing chieftainships that are talking about that. So it's a long negotiating process to say who should actually be the beneficiary, who should we enter this contractual agreement with. So I think the issue is that we are over-ambitious if we think we're going to start and end a contractual agreement in one year. A proclamation of a national park happens in Parliament. You know, so we start dealing within our control. But there is a variance, as you've seen, our new APP, we've extended it to be 7 communities over the 5 year in the NCF, with different finalization at different times. None of these arrangements are short-term arrangements. It's a long-term arrangement.
Yeah,
okay. Then in terms of, I want to just think to the black visitors. The black visitors, there is no way constitutionally that we can ask somebody to declare that what their right is. It's not filled in anywhere in a form. That's why we base it on observation, and it is recorded based on observation, and that is why we work in a margin of error. So there is a margin of error. We don't measure it in absolute numbers. We measure it in trends with a margin of error worked into it. People with disabilities, the corrective measures, I spoke about a little bit earlier, the corrective measures is specifically to go to the community, I'm talking about the Council of the Blind, the Council of the Disabled. There's a couple, there's two that we already have agreements with, to source specific CVs in order to get that, and that is why we are confident that by the end of this financial year we will be very close to the 2%, if not with the 2%. In terms of the professional women, are they attracted to Sandfox? Yes, sir, they are. But we still currently, if you look at the CE now, 75% of the executives that he's appointed in the last 2 years are professional females. Our problem here is a legacy problem. We have a long time believed that it's a male-dominated environment, and there are males sitting in positions that are not being vacated for professional women to take it up. So we just appointed the ME Conservation Services, which is a scientist, a female scientist. The ME Tourism is a professional in the tourism field. So I think we are making the strides. We just do not have sufficient vacancies to meet that 50% fast enough, as the desire is.
So you are sitting with
men who are occupying positions that are supposed to be occupied by women.
Yes, so we can either sponsor some operations or...
Okay, therefore,
that wouldn't work.
It means the man in this instance is an endangered species.
We
are looking to take you out.
And see, the women's forum is an absolute success and very much fired up young women in Sandbox that is will only be satisfied if 100% of Exco is female.
Do you have the publication that you have you budgeted for 20 and exceeded it by 53,
the peer reviewed scientific papers.
Scientific papers. Do you have a profile of the people who submitted that?
Yes,
which was published.
Yes. The board has asked us the same question, both in terms of race and gender, and we have compiled it, and it will go to the next board cycle for them to see the profile. Yes. Yeah. Chair, what we are working on very much is in terms of specifically our young scientists program to get our young scientists to publish sooner rather than later in their career. In terms of the rangers, their living conditions, Chair, they are at a level a B grade. We have very recently completed our equal work for equal pay exercise. And all of the ranges have been upgraded to the 25th percentile of the ranger grade. So they all have got an increase there, which is now on par, also including the allowances above what ranges in the provinces are receiving. So we are now equal above. The bank accounts I will leave to the CFO. The species protection, just to add on to what the CE said, we also have continued programs around wild dogs and lions as the other two species that we have. The one that is increasingly on the radar is pangolin, but it's very difficult to monitor pangolin. So that is one that is also on our radar. Yeah, I think that's all of the ones that I was supposed to be
talking. CFO, I was looking at the Auditor General's report. Although you were given a clean bill of health, there were two issues which the Auditor General was saying that you need to look at in terms of internal controls. And that is the on IT governance and on IT systems and control. So, when you respond just to that in few minutes, because you are left with 8 minutes now to wrap up this session.
Sorry, Chair, I was supposed to respond to those two for you. Both internal audit as well as IT is in my sphere
okay.
of responsibility. We have actually very drastically reacted to the findings on IT and have appointed the Chief Information Technology Officer, who within 3 months must provide to the board the turnaround strategy to correct all of the weaknesses in the IT environment. And I also want to just respond to the question, why are we outsourcing internal audit? Very briefly, currently it is still more affordable to outsource than insource. We need 6,000 hours of auditing. If we outsource it, it gets up to 3 million rand a year. If we insource it with salaries and all of the equipment, it will be more than 12 million a year for that. However, we are moving towards a total in-source model on instruction of the board. The current contract is the last outsource contract, and we are now expanding our internal team by 2 or 3 a year in order to be able to be totally in-source, provided that it
but
can
what
be
capacity do we have internally?
Internally, we currently only have the internal audit executive who is managing the contract that we have with Crown Fortune. So we have an outsourced model.
So you've got one person.
We've got one person that manages the account, and then we are, Crown Fortune is actually the internal auditor that's currently contracted. And this person reports to the risk manager, so one and the manager that we have.
Right, Sipo.
Shall be rather brief considering I'm an endangered species. The current account is held by FNB, that was through a tender process. However, sometimes a donor has got unique requirements where they say, I don't want to use FNB, I want to use another bank, and we have to accede to that, and it does not conflict with the conditions of agreement with the current bank. So we do accommodate that. But it's very rare that that happens. All the other donors that we engage with have no problems with the money being held in the F&B current account. This was a unique thing with the Howard Buffett Foundation. Then, Chair, in terms of short-term investments, we use currently F&B, Investec, APSA, and Standard Bank. And the reason for that, Chair, is that at the time when we want to invest money into short-term investments, we don't often get quotations. In other words, who gives us the best rate, that is where we will invest. But the fundamental strategy is capital preservation, so it's at a low-risk investment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Short-term investment. But your bank is definitely.
It is not.
Okay. Thank you very much. You will be the last, Mr. Shomi. I think there's no one. Yeah, you'll be the last.
I wonder for some jail, but perhaps the mail fellows from some part needed an incentive to vacate their position. But the data is that the CFO is the mail. So I think he may not be as objective.
Yeah, you must introduce the incentive to the board. As opposed to the board. Sean?
Yes, I'll just confirm two or three things, and then the last one, if Chair allows, but it won't be too long, is to respond to that delays in the business plan issues recently. One, on the board side, we are aware that the minister, maybe the minister are aware, we can confirm that the minister is considering this, the pursuit of ensuring that all the boards, she also encouraged even the provincial conservation authorities board to, when the vacancies are available, make sure that they are filled with a person that's responsible for community and related matters. So even for, in case of some parts, there's a consideration on the table at the moment as well. So I can just leave it there for on that one. The Chair, you did raise issues around the rhino issue being a priority crime. There is a strategy that it's not yet approved, but I think it has been completed. It's going through the system of approval. I don't know which route that is following, but I suppose it will still go even to Cabinet. Sorry. It deals with, it's called National Integrated Strategy to Combat Wildlife Crime. It meant specifically to take this matter into a priority crime status. And from what we're hearing from some subs is that in the system now, it will be considered as such. And that changes the whole dynamic in terms of what can be done in the role of justice and other players in the security cluster in relation to this particular issue. So we are hopeful in this process. Also, we did have another Honorable Mavila, another Pakisa, on rhino specifically, and with all the players in the process. So the five areas, including what Honorable Chair raised in legislation, also came in, but complemented by demand management issues, community empowerment, biological management. But what I like about this is that everything is consolidated into tangible actions with specific entities, specific individuals, specific institutions assigned specific roles that must be delivered on. And I think when we talk to this in future, we should be talking on as to how far have we gone in implementing those actions. I can confirm, which is the last point, that what CE was raising, the the Mozambique South Africa relations around illegal activities, poaching and the rest going on very well. We even shared and had a specific dedicated session, a joint partnership with the Mozambique scientists to share how far we've gone in the last 2 to 3 years. And there was a lot of things apart from the rates in terms of indications going down, but many other things that the Mozambicans themselves have institutionalized, capacity-wise, and many other things. And on a regular basis, the MOU does have an implementation plan, and it's reviewed and looked at and assessed on a quarterly basis. So there are interactions politically, there are also interactions strategically. Rian, if you can just also focus on that.
Chairperson, honourable members, just with regard to the delays in the approvals of the business plans, as well as the issues with regard to funding constraints. Obviously, as you also saw in the Financial and Fiscal Commission's report, there was a decrease in 5.4% in the funding for environmental programs, and these have a knock-on effect to specifically the entities. So that was a problem. And then specifically with regard to and everything wasn't in the beginning of the year. During the year, Treasury came back and took some of our money again, as the CFO can explain there. Then with regard to the delays in the approval of the business plans, Honourable Mobilo, the issue was there specifically that there was a new requirement from Treasury where all our contractors were on the database of the department. They required all of them to re-register on the central supplier database at National Treasury. And that took time to finalize, because they had to re-register there. There were issues with some of them, issues like, for instance, they were not allowed to be registered if they didn't have a landline, but all of them, for instance, had a cell phone. So it was small glitches like that that we had to sort out. And we also delayed deliberately some of the business plans because we did not have money to commit to those business plans, given that the funding was, during half of last year, decreased again. So those were the specific reasons with regard to that. You'll also see that same issue coming up when Isimangaliso presents, because that same issue had an impact on them with regard to rehabilitation of wetlands that was not necessarily reached. It was because the knock-on effect of the budget cut that was given to them, and it was during the year that it was given to them. We did not foresee the total cut in the beginning of the year.
Thank you very much for that. Unfortunately, Shoni decided to mess up with the protocol, you know. The protocol is such that the senior person of the department present is the person who has got the last say. So when you delegate, you know that you are messing up, because there might be some extra questions coming from ourselves. But it's fine. There's no issue about that. I think we will find time to engage with the department and with all the people involved on the line of coaching work, but more generally on wildlife crime, because I think what you are advocating for is the treatment as a priority crime. I'm talking about both that and prosecution. Prosecution, because when the NPA does prosecution, it relies on a plethora of acts and legislation, and sometimes things fall through the cracks. And I know that there are some people who are doing a bit of research on this, and they continue to ask the question, but why is South Africa not having an act that specifically deals with wildlife? Just one act. Not many way, you've got this one, you've got this one there. So it's a matter that we must continue to engage on. But it is true that you have done the wonderful work on the Rhino Lab process. It is in our program. We will request a presentation on both the labs, all the labs actually, not both, all the labs. The Rhino Lab, the other one, two other ones.
Oceans and World
Economy. Yeah. Members, I think, will get it. Briefing. In our program, we have picked up an issue which is a little bit of a cause for concern, and we have requested the department responsible in the province of Northwest to come and brief us on the issue of the wildlife economy, particularly the domination of some species, high value species, which is not the responsibility of SANParks, but it is within the context of dealing with the wildlife economy. So we've set up a date that we're going to invite to come and engage with us on that. But I must say that once again echo the sentiment of the colleagues that what we have witnessed in the same parts was a phenomenal improvement in performance, and we'd like you to sustain that. Isimangaliso has been there, it is still there. So same parts has joined the winning teams. So we really would like to congratulate you for that. Not to make you become complacent, but to make sure that you deal with the other issues that are areas of improvement, including this thing of the contingent liabilities that the CFO has raised. We would like you at some point to give us feedback on how you are handling that, because it's something that it is going to be an issue, as you correctly point out, in the future. But generally, I think I echo the sentiments of the colleagues who are happy with the performance of SANParks, and we would like you to keep it that way. Dr. Mato, Rano. Can we adjourn and come back at the what time is it now? 22. Can we come back at the 2:15 to then deal with the snow? Thank you.
She's in Northwest, man, on the
Yeah, she's a deputy speaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.